6 verse 9. Matthew 6 verse 9. For those of you that are new, and I know some of you are new, this is crazy week. And crazy week comes to an end today. But thank you so much for your efforts in Vacation Bible School. We saw children saved. About 20 of them, only God knows their hearts. I know that. I understand that. Only God knows who really got saved, but I thought that was great. And kids who are literally in church for the first time in their life ever were here this week. Some of you had a small part in Bible school. Some of you had a big part, but some of you were here every night or every night you could be. Thank you. I know it's been a long week for you, but thank you very much. Matthew 6, verse 9 says this. It says, after this same manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want you to notice the phrase, our Father, which art in heaven. I want to speak for a little while before we go out on the subject of heaven. I call this Heaven 101. Heaven 101. This is going to be a kind of a, you know, I know heaven's a wonderful subject to talk about. But this is going to be kind of a Joe Friday type of a message. Do you know who Joe Friday is? You young people probably don't know who Joe Friday is. Any of you young people know who Joe Friday is? I didn't think so. He was an old detective in the black and white TV shows. And he was famous for saying what? Just the facts. Just the facts. That's what he said all the time. Just the facts, ma'am. He'd be investigating crimes and murders, and it's all based on true stories of stuff that happened in Los Angeles. He'd always say, just the facts. Well, this is going to be one of those messages. This isn't going to be some tearjerker, sentimental message about all your loved ones who have gone on and stuff. But no, this is going to be just the facts about heaven. It's called Heaven 101. If you want to learn more, I can't possibly teach it all in this short time, but I have a booklet over here that I wrote years ago called Oranology. You say, what is oranology? It's a word I invented. I've never seen it anywhere else, but it just sounded good. Oranos is the Greek word for heaven, so I call it oranology. And it's called the doctrine of heaven. I love doctrine. I'm a doctrinal preacher. I got all kinds of booklets down here on doctrine that I studied for myself. I like learning. I like facts. Facts are stubborn things, you know. They don't change, and they're with you through good times and bad times, and they help you. It's good to know where you're going. Amen? I hope you're going to heaven. I hope you're saved. And if you're going to heaven, it's good to know where you're going because it's kind of pretty neat to look forward to when you really dig into the Scriptures. And so feel free to take one of these booklets. It'll cover a lot of things I'm not going to cover this morning. But I love heaven. The Scripture says, set your affection on things above, not on the things that are in the earth. And it says about, we've been reading over there and trying to memorize portions this year of the book of Philippians and Philippians 3, I think it is verse 20, says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to give you some facts today about heaven. It's found over in the Bible over 670 times. That's a lot. Heaven's mentioned 670 times in the Scriptures in the Old and New Testament. Now contrast that with hell, which is mentioned 54 times. Hell is a very real place, but God speaks about heaven about 10 times more because he wants us to go there. The Bible says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, none whatsoever. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be in heaven someday, and he wants you to know a lot. We can't know everything. We kind of look through a glass darkly in this life, don't we? We can't know everything, but we can know a whole lot about heaven. And I want to say just some facts today about heaven. Number one, God the Father is there. God the Father is there. Our Father, which art in heaven. God the Father is there. Well, that's a blessing right there. God the Father is actually, doctrinally, omnipresent. He's everywhere. But He has given us, as a way to identify with Himself, three locations where He abides. Three locations. One is in heaven. When Jesus taught us to pray, He said, "Pray, our Father, which art in heaven." Where else is one of the locations that God the Father identifies Himself in? We've covered this before. Maybe you remember. Where's another place where God abides? Where else does He abide? I hear whispering, but Brother Kelly? In the church. In the church. In the Scriptures, there are 213 times where you'll read this statement, "the house of the Lord." Every single time you will see the word "Lord" in your King James Bible spelled capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which tells us that that is a reference to what Hebrew name? Jehovah. That is the highest name. That is the most sacred name God has. In fact, it is so sacred the Jews will not utter it. In fact, it's called the Tetragrammaton, which is a big fancy word which means the unutterable name. In fact, the way it's spelled, YHWH, we really don't even know how to pronounce that in English. We think it's something like Jehovah. But they had so much respect for the name that they called Him Lord. And our King James Bible translators did us such a wonderful favor. And every time it's called the house of the Lord, they spelled it capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So you know the original Hebrew was Jehovah, or however you pronounce it. But they had so much respect for that name. Let me illustrate. I call my dad, Dad. I would never call him George. Does that make sense? Why wouldn't I call him George? Out of respect. Out of respect. Now, there's a cult going around calling themselves the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they always talk about Jehovah, and they use the name very lightly. A Jew would never do that. A Jew would take off his clothes, wash his body, pick up a new pen that's never been used, and write that name, if he was a scribe, every time he came to it, over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. The house of the Lord. Where's the other place that God identifies Himself as literally abiding in? Jesus said one time, "Me and the Father will come and make our abode in you." Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So even though God is omnipresent, He identifies Himself as being in heaven, being in the house, and being in a human who's saved. Who's saved. That's where God abides. So God the Father is there, number one. Now, where is heaven? Number two. Answer, in the north. In the north. When Satan wanted to take over heaven and led a rebellion, he said these words. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I don't know exactly where heaven is, but it's in the north. It's in the north. That's very, very interesting to us, especially people who study physics and people who study astronomy. The north is very, very important to those types of scientists. In Psalm 75 and verses 6 through 7, it says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So God is in heaven, number one. Where is heaven? It's in the north. Now, it's quite interesting that every single compass that works points to the north. I have a beautiful compass here that was given to me as a gift. It was given to me as a gift by a guy who had a heart transplant. And I had come and prayed for him before his surgery, and he's doing fine. The guy's in the ministry now. Hallelujah. But if I put this compass down here on a level plane, it's going to point to the north. And there's the north. Every compass points towards the north. Did you know that every star, every moon, every planet that is in existence in every galaxy is heading north right now? Every one of them. The whole thing is, we're all going in about six directions at once right now. It's just stunning. But everything is heading to the north. Why? We're going to have a meeting with God, that's why. We're going to meet the Lord. And we're heading north. It would be wise for us to follow the compass and point ourselves north. And it would be wise to follow the universe and point ourselves north. And as the scriptures say, think about things that are above. It is the furthest out of the three heavens. It is the furthest out of the three heavens. How old is heaven? How old is heaven? Anybody want to guess how old heaven is? It's about 6,000 years old. Genesis 1:1 teaches you that. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heaven, not the heavens, but the heaven and the earth. It's about 6,000 years old. It is described by the Apostle Paul as being the third heaven. The third heaven. Now, what do we mean by that? The first heaven is where the birds and fly around and where the rain falls, thus says the scriptures. In Psalm 104 and verse number 12, it says, by them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. For some reason, God made fowls to sing. They still do today. They were this morning. Some of you may have been up early enough to hear them. It's an amazing thing how they sing to each other. But where the fowls fly is the first heaven and where the rain falls from. So the fowls and the clouds that we see, that is the first heaven. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17 says, nevertheless, he left himself without witness, not without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Now, where do you suppose the second heaven is? If the first heaven is the clouds and the rain and where the birds fly around, where do you suppose the second heaven is? Space. In Genesis 1, verses 14 through 17, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So the first heaven is where the birds fly around, the clouds and the rain falls. The second is all the stars and the moons and the suns and the planets. That's the second heaven. But now turn in your Bible with me over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter number There were three people that had a vision into heaven. They actually saw the third heaven. Three different people in the Bible. Anybody know what their names were? Who is one of them that actually saw heaven? This current heaven. John. Okay, John the Apostle. And he wrote that book. It's called the Book of Revelation. I have in this booklet here 63 observations about the current heaven that John mentions in the Book of Revelation. I'm obviously not going to take time to go through them this morning. 63, the greatest revelation anyone ever received of the current heaven was the Apostle John in the Book of Revelation. You can get that booklet and you can go through 63 different descriptions of this current heaven. Who else? What Old Testament character got to look into the third heaven? Isaiah. Isaiah, okay, his description is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And what other New Testament writer got to look or see or hear things in the third heaven? What was his name? The Apostle Paul. That is correct. Now I want to read, beginning at 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4, what Paul wrote. But I want you to notice carefully here, he does not say he saw these things. He said he heard these things. Paul, I think, had problems with his eyesight from the day he was saved and he was struck down by a bright light on the road to Damascus. I believe until the end of his life he had problems seeing. But do notice what he said. He says, I knew a man in Christ Jesus above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the what? Third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So notice he called the third heaven what? Paradise. Okay, now that goes contrary to what the cults teach. The cults teach that this earth is paradise. And someday paradise is going to be restored here. But Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven. And then later he says, I was caught up into paradise. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say to the repentant thief? He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Friends, heaven is paradise. And paradise comes from a Hebrew word, parades, which refers to orchards, vineyards, mountains, streams, parks. Paradise is where we get the word parks from originally in the English language. And I don't know about you where you grew up. I grew up in Orchard Park. We loved Chestnut Ridge Park. And it was just such a beautiful place to go. It was just relaxing. It was just tranquil. It was a tranquil place to go until people got drunk. But the way God made it, it was a tranquil place to go there at Chestnut Ridge Park. And some of these parks, some of you have gone to Letchworth State Park. Some of you have gone into botanical gardens and things like that. And you've just seen the beauty. And these are just little visual aids. These are little object lessons that God has given us on earth, a few beautiful places to help us to understand. And I believe that that man who died on the cross that day and repented and said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus looked back at him and said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Although that man continued to struggle the rest of the day until the soldiers broke his legs and killed him, I believe that thought of paradise comforted that man's soul as he thought of how that day was going to end. This all ends very well for us as we go to the third heaven, to a place called paradise, to parks. And if you're a city person, you're going to love it, because the Bible says heaven is like a city. The New Jerusalem will be a city. If you're a country person, it says they sought for a country. It doesn't matter what you are. You're going to love heaven. You want to be saved. You want to make sure you're saved. Now, that shouldn't be your motive just to go to heaven, but because you're a sinner and you need a Savior, it would please God to save you. But heaven, this is all in this book. here, okay? And I'm just scratching the surface of this. But what is the third heaven? The third heaven is paradise. First heaven, birds, clouds, rain. Second heaven, stars, galaxies, suns, moons, black holes. Just fascinating stuff. Some of you have been watching videos, I think, in Sunday school. Are you doing that again? Did you do that this morning? All right. You probably know what I'm talking about then. Oh, my. That's the second heaven, but the third heaven. Paul said, I don't even know if Paul said anything. Literally taking what he said, just what I heard is unutterable. He said, I heard unspeakable things. What does that mean? He says, I cannot find the words. In the Hebrew language, Greek language, Aramaic, whatever Paul spoke, he said, I cannot put into words what I heard up there in heaven. It's the third heaven. The third heaven has two stages in history. The first lasts about 7,000 years. This heaven that people go to now is a wonderful place. It's described in Hebrews chapter 12. It tells us what's in heaven right now. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll turn there, and we're almost done, we have to be. Because it gets kind of distracting here in Eden, New York, on this Sunday. I'm going to read about three verses that would be good for you to go home and pick apart and list. But here's what's in heaven right now. This heaven is temporary. If you die today, you'd go to heaven, but it's temporary. And by the way, it's contaminated. It's a contaminated place. It's a place where Satan has access to. It's a place where all the demons of Satan are going to be summoned someday to heaven to war against God. It says, and I saw a war in heaven. Okay, it's all in the book over here. But boy, it's still a lot better than this earth. To depart and be with Christ is far better. To live as Christ, to die is gain. Amen, hallelujah. But someday there's going to be new heavens and new earth. Now this heaven that is currently in existence, that God brought into existence the same time he brought earth into existence, he didn't need a place to live. The prophet said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. God didn't need a place to live. So he made one to identify with us so we could understand him a little bit. Where is God? He lives in heaven. I told a kid that this Sunday. He lived in the north, and he's starting to look around like this. So north's that way. He started looking around. I'm serious. He did. He'd never been in church before in his life. And I have to get down to the rudiments, the basics with him, for him to understand. But this verse tells us what's in heaven. In Hebrews 12:22, it says, but you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Well, that'll be a blessing. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. See, that's why we believe the church is important. It's going to last forever. Marriage isn't going to last forever. Human government isn't going to last forever. Jesus is going to rule and reign forever and ever. But the church is going to last forever. Let us have a very high estimation of the church and what God thinks about it. And those that are already gone before us are called the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, God's there. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Did you know if you died today, you would exist in heaven as a spirit, not as a body yet? Sometimes we like to say things like, well, he's got a new body now and he's running around doing cartwheels and flips and so on and all that stuff. That's nice thinking. Maybe spirits and souls do that too. I don't know. But the body's in the grave right now waiting the resurrection when they'll receive a new body at the rapture. But the spirits and souls of all of our loved ones who are saved and have died and gone to heaven are with the Lord right now. The spirits here of just men made perfect. Jesus is there. Hallelujah. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And the blood. Praise the Lord, the blood's there. Some say, well, the blood just fell into the ground and disappeared. No, no, no. I don't know how, but God collected that blood, and it speaks for us in heaven today, the blood of Jesus Christ. God still sees the blood. And listen, if God can transplant the tree of life from the Garden of Eden to heaven, that's what the Bible says, I think God can take the blood of Christ and translate it to heaven too. The blood. God sees the blood. The blood is in heaven. What else is there? Well, that's it. But there's quite a list there in those verses, and I didn't do that justice. But read about Paul's testimony. Read about Isaiah's vision. Read about John's vision of the current heaven. And that the current heaven is going to last about 7,000 years. It's still got some history. Things are going to be going on up there during the 7-year tribulation down on the earth. And things are going to be going on up there during the millennium, 1,000-year reign of Christ, Angelica. Watch Mason carefully, okay? Tell him that, okay? All right. Very good. Let's have our attention back up here for a few more minutes. We don't want to lose him. The third heaven, this current heaven is going to end. It's going to end someday. And it's prophesied in Isaiah 65. And listen to, as I read to you, Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven. I love this text. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. So we got a new heaven, new earth, New Jerusalem. What did we see earlier? The living Jerusalem. Now the new Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice in heaven. This is about the best news you'll ever hear, if you care. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It says the mystery of God shall be finished. No longer will we be scratching our heads and saying, what is God really like? I'm saved, and I'm learning some things from the Word, and I'm getting a picture of what God is like, but what's he really like? Boy, someday he's going to be with us forever. And God shall be with them, and God shall be, himself shall be with them and be their God. Well, it gets better. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Isn't that precious? And he goes on and he says this. He doesn't have to, but he says this. And he said unto me, write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. You know what that's like saying to us? I'm not kidding you. That's what it's like saying. I'm not kidding you. He says, right. Now, we should just know that. We shouldn't have to have God say that. But he says that, right, for these things are true and faithful. These words are true and faithful. You can bank on them. But the last thing I want to say about just the facts is it tells us in chapter 21, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Every saved American, every saved Canadian, every saved Mexican, every saved Russian, every saved Croatian, doesn't matter. The nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. You got to be saved to go there. You got to be saved to go to heaven. In verse 8 it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Just look at the first 5 words, but the fearful and unbelieving. If you're not a believer, the unbelieving have a place too. a lake of fire. Why would you want to go there? You got to be saved by faith. You can't be an unbeliever. It says the fearful, those that are afraid of God. Boy, if I come to God, I'll never have fun again. I'll never smile again. I'll never have joy again. And I want to do this and this and this in my life. And I want to accomplish all these things. And if I come to God, I'll never be able to do any of that. That's called the fearful. The fearful. And the unbelieving, those that say, no, maybe later I'll trust in Christ. Boy, if you die as an unbeliever, there's a place called the lake of fire. It's a sin God can't forgive. The unpardonable sin is to reject Christ as your Savior. But He went all the way to the cross to die for us. And we say, no, I don't need your Son. There's no forgiveness for that. Don't go to hell in verse 8. Go to heaven, verse 24. Be saved, the nations of them that are saved. Are you saved today? Have you trusted Christ? I didn't do this justice. I'm a little bit distracted, a little bit tired this morning. You are too. But study this here. If you got any questions, I'm not saying I'm right on everything, but boy, I just want to know what I believe and why I believe it. We're going to close in prayer and hopefully do a little ministering in our community today through the Word of God. Hope you can help us. Let us pray. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if you're here today, you got to be saved by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to earn it. We're all sinners. Our sin has offended a holy God and separated us from Him. You need to be saved. By faith, belief. You need to believe Jesus is Lord, that He's God Himself in the flesh. And you need to believe on Him that He died on the cross in your place for your sins. Shed His blood to wash them all away. And was buried and rose again. And in faith, receive Him by calling on Him. If you need to do that today, then right now, right where you're sitting, would you just pray to Jesus? The prayer can't save you, but Jesus can. Would you say to the Lord something like this? Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my Savior. I believe in you with all of my heart. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross in my place for my sins. And shed your blood to wash them all away. I believe you were buried and you rose from the grave and you live forevermore. Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. Please save me today. Please give me eternal life. Please give me paradise in heaven as a gift for believing in Thee, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, help us. God, give us wisdom now in ministering to this community effectively in the parade. Give us strength and energy, and dismiss us now with Thy blessing, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.